In today's news headlines, President Trump has asked Turkish officials to present all the evidence they have on the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, including audio and video recordings. On Wednesday, Trump said, "We've asked for it, if it exists," and then later added, "I'm not sure yet that it exists." Turkish officials have said they have audio evidence. Any Turkish newspaper earlier this week published a gruesome account of Khashoggi's murder based on the recording. Meanwhile, the Washington Post on Wednesday published a posthumous column by Khashoggi. The piece, entitled "What the Arab World Needs Most is Free Expression," was sent to the paper's editors by Khashoggi's assistant the day after he went missing. In a note published with the column, editor Karen Atiyah wrote, "This column perfectly captures his commitment and passion for freedom in the Arab world, a freedom he apparently gave his life for. I will be forever grateful he chose the Post as his final journalistic home 1 year ago and gave us a chance to work together." Khashoggi wrote in his column, quote, "The Arab world is facing its own version of an iron curtain imposed not by external actors, but through domestic forces vying for power." In other news, the White House counsel Don McGahn has left the White House. Wednesday was his last day. President Trump had announced McGahn would be leaving after the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, which of course took a lot longer than Trump expected. During the confirmation battle, McGahn was one of the accused sexual predator's strongest defenders. He also helped the Trump administration vet the many conservative judges that have been appointed by Republicans to lower courts. McGahn will be replaced by a lawyer named Pat Cipollone, who has already been advising Trump. In election-related news, Trump and the Republicans have been pouring money to the tune of $5 million into a key Senate race in Montana to unseat two-term Democrat John Tester. According to Associated Press, the contest is on pace to be the most expensive in Montana history, and it's been driven by Trump's apparent personal interest in Tester's defeat and his efforts to ensure Republicans keep power in the Senate. The reason for Trump's interest is that Tester made allegations against Trump's Veteran Affairs nominee Ronnie Jackson that ended up ruining Jackson's chances for the post. Republican Matt Rosendale, who is loyal to Trump, is challenging Tester but relied on outside help from his party. Minnesota Democratic House candidate Ilhan Omar, who is slated to become one of two first Muslim women to serve in Congress, is battling a right-wing smear campaign. The Somali-American faces Republican candidate Jennifer Zielinski for the seat vacated by Representative Keith Ellison. Zielinski is a little-known figure with no political experience. Omar is being accused of having married her brother and committing immigration fraud. According to AP, Minnesota Republicans in the 5th District began a digital billboard campaign and launched a website that highlights the allegations, many of which were first raised by conservative media outlets in 2016, as Omar was running for her seat in the Minnesota legislature. In a statement, Omar said, quote, "We recognize how these folks are deeply invested in stopping a progressive, black, Muslim, hijab-wearing immigrant woman. We know these people are part of systems that have historically been disturbingly motivated to silence, discredit, and dehumanize influencers who threaten the establishment." The U.S. Justice Department has said it will be asking the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene by the end of the month on lawsuits regarding the Dreamers and their challenge to Trump's termination of the Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program. The case is currently before an appellate court. According to Reuters, it would be unusual for the Supreme Court to weigh in before the appeals court has ruled. Thousands of DACA registrants are awaiting the outcome of the legal challenge. Trump on Wednesday threatened to withhold federal funding from California to help it battle fires. At a cabinet meeting focused on the issue, Trump said, quote, "It's hurting our budget, it's hurting our country, and they better get their act together." His comments come at a time when California has had record fires spurred by climate change-driven conditions. Reuters reports that, quote, Trump said the state should do more to remove rotten trees and other debris that fuel fires. But of course, the president is hardly an expert on firefighting procedures. California Governor Jerry Brown's press secretary Evan Westrup shot back, quote, "The president's comments are about as credible as his self-proclaimed natural instinct for science." President Trump's favorite social media company, Twitter, says it is releasing information on all known user accounts involved in election meddling going back to 2016. According to AP, Twitter has already disclosed the account numbers, but is now releasing the actual tweets, images, video, and other information so that outside researchers can study them. Additionally, the data comprises more than 4,600 accounts and over 10 million tweets, most affiliated with the Russia-linked Internet Research Agency and potentially linked to Iran. Twitter says the earliest activity it found on its service from these accounts dates back to 2009. Trump has been using his Twitter account to threaten the governments of Central American nations over a migrant caravan heading to the United States. Earlier this week, he tweeted, quote, "Anybody entering the United States illegally will be arrested and detained prior to being sent back to their country." And then in a separate tweet, he said, "We have today informed the countries of Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador that if they allow their citizens or others to journey through their borders and up to the United States with the intention of entering our country illegally, all payments made to them will stop," in brackets, end, exclamation point. There are reports of about 2,000 Hondurans traveling north to the United States in a large caravan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is headed to Central America later this month. Here is an Al Jazeera report from the caravan featuring the voices of many migrants explaining why they're headed to the U.S.
"God give us support and help us in this precarious moment. We are in Honduras, killing us with a cost of electricity, with health care, with all of our worries about security, where instead of protecting us, they are killing us in Honduras."
Singing the Honduran national anthem and chanting, "Yes, we can," the migrants head north. Police stopped them for several hours at the Guatemalan border, but eventually let them continue.
"We're going because Honduras is making us go. Why? Because Honduras is one of the poorest countries. We have a government that doesn't support all of the people. We have to leave fleeing from our country, where we have to be able to get ahead, and that's not happening. We have to look for other places where we can get ahead."
That's a video report by Al Jazeera from the migrant caravan of Hondurans heading to the United States. And that does it for our headlines today.